First of the Cape Drive Time, welcome back to the show. 0829 913 913 is the WhatsApp line. Whilst Israel demolishes West Bank homes and carries on strangling Gaza, Arab Israelis who live in what's called the 1948 territories have been facing challenges of their own, a very forgotten part of the Palestinian landscape. Online is Mu'adh Hatib, who is a Palestinian activist, to tell us exactly what's happening to Arab Israelis, as I say, in what's known as 1948 territories. Mu'adh Hatib, assalamu alaikum. Welcome to the show.
Wa alaikum assalam. Thanks for having me.
Right. I would say Arab Israelis, the forgotten Palestinians in many senses. People say that they are privileged because they carry an Israeli passport, but I'm sure you'll agree that doesn't mean much because Arab Israelis are always discriminated against.
Absolutely. I totally agree with that. We are citizens on paper only. But if you investigate every aspect of our lives, you will realize without a lot of really effort that there's a lot of discrimination, that the policies of occupation are still undergoing, albeit maybe not as clear as it was in the 48. So now they are practicing ethnic cleansing, but not, you know, that is not totally visible, but in hidden means and methodologies. So, for example, one way which is now becoming of a serious concern is the matter of violence in the Arab community. There's an increasing, serious increase in the rates of violence and violent crimes in the community. About 50% of crimes committed in whole Israel take place in the Arab community, although we constitute about 20% of the total population. Now that obviously has its reasons, and mainly the authorities' policies in not only not preventing crime but actually promoting and encouraging it. And I'll just, you know, give you three simple facts to explain how that happens. So there are a lot of illegal weapons and arms that are being circulated in the community. The source of these are the military bases of the Israeli army. So it's extremely difficult for a weapon, say a pistol or a rifle, to reach someone. And if that happens, like it would immediately be found by the authorities. So if, for example, an arm or a pistol was used by a Palestinian to commit to shoot against Israeli targets, they would find him in the same hour, okay, thanks to the very advanced technology in an investigation. But when such arms are being used in the Arab community by Arab citizens to target and kill each other, especially, you know, between gangs in gang wars, then they are tolerated, they are allowed to be used, and they are even given. So these are smuggled out of Israeli military bases, and the Israeli authorities know about this, and still they turn a blind eye to them. As long as they are being used to kill Arabs, then they are okay. Once a certain weapon is used to kill, to target, and not only to kill an Israeli, then it is immediately found. So from the one hand, they allow the circulation of illegal weapons. On the other hand, they know, of course, about the criminal activities of gangs and etc. and narcotics dealers, and they are doing nothing to stop it. In fact, a lot of testimonies show that there is a kind of a cooperation between the authorities and the narcotics and weapon dealers, in that the authorities and the police especially allow such dealers to continue their activities while providing services to the authorities. Services about who is active on the national level. See, so furthermore, all the crimes are not even being investigated. So when the victim is an Arab in the Arab community, the authorities do absolutely nothing. In fact, when 13 of of the Arab Israelis were killed in the 2000 Intifada by Israeli police. Not even one of those police officers who killed in cold blood those Palestinians was investigated or interrogated. So they would obviously, treat us the same way when the not only the victims are Arabs, but also the murderers are Arabs. So what I'm trying to say here is they allow the weapons to be smuggled into the community from the Israeli bases. They tolerate and even encourage and turn a blind eye to the criminal activities, and they even cooperate with such criminals. So that is why there's a significant increase in violence. If you compare it to the violence in the Israeli community, the difference is huge. So because of this, there has been a lot of protests and demonstrations taking place in central towns and cities in the Arab community in Israel. And what's going on now is really unprecedented in that those Palestinians, those Arabs who go to the street, take to the streets to protest against the police's policy of completely ignoring the violence in our community, then they are met with the same and even worse violence by the police themselves. A lot of footage has emerged from Umm Al Fahm, for example, that witnessed a very violent protest last week. Not the protesters were violent, but actually they stood very peacefully. They didn't even carry signs or anything, and all of a sudden they were attacked brutally by the police. Even they brought police dogs, police horses, and water cannons and tear gas and rubber covered bullets, and they just attacked and assaulted the protesters in a very brutal and unprecedented way. So now we are not only protesting the lack of action on the police's part to stop the violence, but actually we are now protesting the violence itself by the police who don't even want people to protest. See, so there's a lot of violence, and if we protest because of the authorities' lack of action, then we are met with even more violence. So this is how the situation is going right now.
It's funny, Muad, it reminds me of what the apartheid authorities used to do to poorer communities in Cape Town during apartheid. They used to use exactly the same model by giving gangsters guns, allowing them to carry on, because the gang activity kept the community occupied with defending itself against crime and not worrying about the political questions.
Wow. Exactly. That's exactly what's happening right now. Actually, that's what, our politicians and activists are saying. Exactly. And by the way, there's another plan by, I don't remember the name, that also happened under the British Mandate of Palestine. Exactly the same thing. They would provide weapons to some of the people who are criminals by nature and encourage them, and then the society would be busy with their own wounds instead of seeking their rights and freedoms and demanding political rights. So exactly, that's the same thing. It's not surprising. Both of them are apartheid regimes, after all, isn't it?
Yeah, the Haganah, the Stern and the Irgun gangs were given arms by the British, and when they invaded Palestinian villages, the Palestinians had their guns taken away from them. They weren't allowed to have arms. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, totally. Exactly.
Now, looking at the situation that you are in at the moment, it sounds like there's been a complete deterioration of the life for Arab Israelis. It just gets worse and worse, doesn't it? Judging by what you're saying.
It certainly does. I mean, some of the, the activists say that we have no option but to seek international protection from the international community, because indeed the police are not doing anything, and they are the ones who are actually targeting us right now.
Mm. And of course, I mean, so, yeah. And
the, yeah, so imagine, I mean, some of the video clips, if you didn't see them, I will send them, like showing the women who are just standing still and doing absolutely nothing. And then they are being beaten and assaulted and attacked in a really like barbaric way. Even old and one old woman, like, and this is happening in front of the cameras. They are not even feeling any shame about it. Like, they are getting the full support of the government and they're caring about absolutely nothing.
Yeah, this is really very tragic. I mean, it goes beyond being sad. But I think the big question, has there been any response from the international community, which right now doesn't seem to want to have anything to do or understand what is happening in Palestine?
Yes. Yeah, unfortunately. I mean, what's happening to us is much easier. I wouldn't say easy, but it's much easier than what Palestinians in occupied Bank and in West Gaza are experiencing. But what's unique here about us is that we are supposedly Israeli citizens, so we should receive the full rights, okay? But in fact, the fact is that is far from the truth. There's, like you said, discrimination in all aspects of our lives. I mean, the only place where there is no discrimination is in the Knesset. So they allow some of us to be represented in the Knesset, but actually, in fact, that too is only to serve the purpose of whitewashing the Israeli government, and Arabs cannot get, you know, cannot achieve any even insignificant achievement by the Knesset, because any bill or any law that is proposed by the Arab, the Arab political blocs in the Knesset is immediately blocked and hindered if it serves the interests of the Arab community. So even that margin of democracy that we are enjoying, we are only enjoying it because it benefits the Israeli government and Israel as a whole, and not because we are really seeking anything from it.
Now, when we try and understand the situation, are you getting help or from anywhere in the world, or interest from anywhere in the world in terms of what's happening to you? Because as I said when I started the interview, Arab Israelis are probably one of the most forgotten groups of people, and yet there's 2 million of you inside Israel. Yeah. You are a significant percentage of the population in 1948 Israel.
Yes, true. That's true. And unfortunately, no. Like, that is why I started, like, because I noticed that there is not any coverage of what's happening here inside Israel, the experiences of Arab Palestinians who are citizens of Israel. So when I noticed that, you know, nothing is being reported, that's when I started to contact some of my acquaintances who work with the media, and that's how you reached me. So unfortunately, there is not really, you know, coverage, and that is sad, because what's happening is that, like I said, it's ethnic cleansing. Like, I only mentioned violence, but there are a lot of challenges that we are facing. For example, you can hardly build a house on your own piece of land that you own, okay? They rarely give you permit. And if you dare and build without permit, because you can't have it, because they are not allowing you to get it, and then you are forced to destroy and demolish your own house with your own hands, and if you don't, then they bring their bulldozers and they destroy your house, and they force you to pay the cost of those bulldozers, which reach like 300,000 shekels, which is about 100,000 American dollars. So people are now live in a lot of stress, psychological stress, economic stress, and that's why a lot of people are now immigrating to other countries, which is exactly the purpose of such oppression and regression against Palestinians in Israel. I'm talking about Israel only. So that's exactly what they want. They want people to start leaving the country so that, you know, Jews from Canada or from other parts of the world come and occupy their place.
And
that's
why I said
from the beginning, this is just a modern form of ethnic cleansing.
But here is an irony. More and more research amongst Jewish communities in the United States and in Europe is revealing that the younger generations are becoming less and less interested in Palestine and less interested in performing the Aliyah, which is the migration to Israel.
Yeah.
The whole Zionist project is collapsing.
Yeah, well, from certain countries, that's correct, but not all countries. Like, just, you know, a week ago, a great number of immigrants came from Ethiopia and from another country. So it depends on the country, really. In some countries, the rate of migration is indeed smaller compared to the past, but not in all countries. Like the Soviet bloc, for example, a lot of immigrants come from the Soviet bloc, and some of them are not even Jews, but they claim to be Jews so that, you know, they can come to the country, and because, you know, the situation is relatively better than the situation in their countries. So, you know, it is probably less than in the past, but it's still ongoing.
Yeah, I mean, this immigration thing is very sad. I can remember many years ago talking to a Russian soldier at the Erez crossing into Gaza. We discovered, yes, you're right, he wasn't actually Jewish, and he actually told us that he didn't like the country, but he was stuck. So it goes to show the irony. And of course, I can't understand why Ethiopians, who are black Africans, would want to come to Israel, because they're just going to be discriminated against and treated like...
Absolutely. Well, they don't expect that. And still, maybe for them, you know, discrimination is probably better than the, you know, the conditions they live in Ethiopia. So for good or worse, it still would be better for them compared to Ethiopia.
Mo'adh Khatib, unfortunately we have to leave it there. Palestinian activist talking to us about the plight of Arab Israelis in the 1948 territories. It's a serious problem wherever you go in that part of the world. Mo'adh, shukran, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you very much for covering this.
Drive Time 91.3. Always on the cutting edge.